just open the service with prayer. Lord Jesus, how we adore you so much. Lord, to think of all you've done for us, your many blessings, your many promises that are laying there, Father. Lord, as it's been typed as a bag of candy for a child, it's just there. All we have to do is have faith to reach out and take it. Oh, Lord, we have not because we ask not, Lord. We thank you so much for all you've done for us. We just ask that you would bless us tonight. Bless each and every one that's made the effort to come, Lord. Strengthen us, meet our needs, and draw us ever closer to thee, Father, with a greater revelation burning in our hearts, Lord. Father, when we leave the building, truly we'll be able to say it's been good to be here. Father, we're farther along the ladder, armored and ready to meet the enemy this week. Lord, we just love you. Have your way now. We ask all this, Lord, in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. You may be seated if you'd like. Praise his holy name. Let's turn over, and if you'd like to start with me, on page 54 of the big books there. Sing about that fountain. Amen. The everlasting fountain.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all. Oh,
So glad. Praise his holy name. Page 154. Turn with me. Just as I am. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood, through thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, will welcome pardon, cleanse freely, because thy promise I believe. Just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down, how to be thine, yea, thine alone. Just as I am poor, wretched, blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in
saints. These are promises and things you never forget. Never push them out of your mind. Amen. The price he paid. Promises are laying there. Amen. Page 106. Amen. Just a little chorus. Reach out. Touch him. Amen. That's what he wants, saints. What it's all about.
Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by.
So, saints, just reach out and touch you. Amen. He's always there, saints. Praise his name. Turn over one page. Just sing this little chorus. We ain't sung it for a while. 99. Amen. I think it's two totally separate little courses, but what's this thing? Standing somewhere in the shadows. Amen.
Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who can understand. Standing somewhere in the shadows,
to come and
take up the offering. Precious Jesus. That's the blessing.
Pray you'll bless this service and bless this altar.
Yes.
In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Make me more like thee.
Yes.
Dear Jesus. Make me more like thee. Jesus, make me more like thee. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Jim Finley, would you take the request? You may be seated. Amen. Have a special song you want? You got one, Heather? Amen. I shoot a couple. Precious Jesus.
There's just not enough words to explain the way I feel. I felt the love of Jesus and I know it's real. There's just not enough songs or voices to sing to give thanks unto the Lord, to Jesus Christ the King. So just praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord God on high. There's just not enough time. It would take 10,000 years to tell of the joy of Jesus, one who really cares. There's just not enough ways to live my life for Him. For He gave His all for me, that I might live again. So just praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord God on high. There's just not enough praise. It would take forevermore to tell of the way I feel for Jesus Christ my Lord. there's just not enough hands that can be raised for the glory of the Lord, his name forever praised. So just praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord God on high. So let's praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord God on high. So just praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord God on high.
Amen.
Praise him. Amen. Let us stand and just worship him. Stand up your feet and raise your hands. Amen. Just say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your mercy. Hallelujah. We just want to praise your holy name. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. How we glorify you, magnify your name. Amen. Thank you for your mercy and grace, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, my, there ought to be a praise in our heart to glorify him and magnify how great he is. Does he mean that to you? Oh, that there's just a freedom in your heart to worship him and praise him from the depths of your heart. Amen. Being so thankful for his mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Amen. Thank you for the desire you placed in our hearts, Lord. Oh, we got so much to thank him for. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus as Brother Timothy comes. I've got so much to thank him for. Amen. I've got so much to thank him for. So much to praise him for he has been so good to me. Amen. Now I think of all he's done and done. He's brought me from him. Oh, yes. We thank him for. And I've got so much to thank him for. So much to praise him for. For he has been. So much to thank him for, so much to praise him for he has been so good to me. And when I think of all he's done and where he brought me from, I've got so much to thank.
For me,
amen.
My, why it's going to take eternity.
Glory.
And how we'll praise him throughout eternity.
Yes.
Saints, just think of each one.
Yes.
Tonight gathered here, there's probably 25, 26 of us maybe. But that little bride scattered throughout the land and the ones that's gone on before.
Amen.
Someday we're all going to stand over there on the streets
hallelujah.
Of glory.
Amen.
We're all going to gather around and each one of us is going to have a chance.
Amen.
Oh, let me tell my story. Let me tell you what God done for me and where he brought me from. Oh, how great is our God. Hallelujah. My, he's just so precious. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads. Precious Lord, we have come here tonight, Lord, to just let you have your way. And Lord, we just want you to receive the glory and the honor from all that's said and done. And Lord, we're just so thankful in our hearts, Lord. We feel the desire, we feel the pull and the burning, Lord, to be what you would have us be in this hour. And Lord, just above all, Lord, to see that you imparted to me salvation. Lord, that you put my sins in that sea of forgetfulness. And Lord, that I can stand here tonight and lift my hands and know, Lord, you don't see this whole flesh body. But you're looking at the perfect, real, genuine me, Lord. How grateful we are and how thankful for your mercy and your grace. We just ask your blessings upon your word this night, Lord. Bless it to our hearts. And may something be said to help someone, Lord, in some way we ask. In the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My, so precious. You know, I could just sing all night. Amen. Worshiping for all he's done for me. Truly appreciate him. He's so precious. But while you're still standing, let's just turn our Bibles over to the book of Job, if you would. Just take a little exhortation tonight and pray, and it'll just run right along with some of the things our pastor's been bringing. It's, you know, sometimes the word comes many different ways. But my, thank God for his instructions. As our brother said this morning, he give us instructions. And everything. Amen. But turn to the first chapter of the book of Job, if you would. We're just going to read a scripture here, and then you can be seated. And I want to catch a couple more out of here. Just for a little thought. Just something to dwell on tonight. Amen. But my, by God's grace, I pray we'll take something home with us. Something out of it. Amen. And let it run in continuity. Maybe it'll... Some of the quotes, it may sound like it's not the quotes our pastors read, but they may fit in there. And if you'll just let it all gel together for you, it just adds into your heart confirmation. It'll bring a consolation and a peace. Amen. But here in Job, the first chapter, and begin at the sixth verse. And now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? And thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. And so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. May the Lord add the blessing to your reading word. You may be seated. And right there at the beginning of the 13th verse, there wasn't no hesitation. Satan went to work. God lifted his hand and old Job began to feel. All the many things began to happen and come upon him. And we ain't going to take time to read all that took place, but we all know how his sons and his daughters, everything he had, destroyed. Till he sat in the dust and had boils and scraped himself. And all the many ones that came to him talking, accusing him of being a secret sinner. And if you read and listen to all the things Job questioned as he sat there and talking. But then over in the 19th verse, let's just catch this little piece. This is the 22nd verse of the 19th chapter. And he says, why do you persecute me as God? Are you not satisfied with my flesh? And Job said, oh, that my words were now written. And oh, that they were printed in a book. And that they were graven with iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Amen. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Brother Branham said inspiration struck Job when God dipped that into his heart. Brother Branham said in the I have heard, but now I see. As he illustrated that, he said, Job had looked at botany life. A tree died and it went into the ground and it rose again. And Job seen all of this, but what of a man? And then God dipped this into his heart. And Brother Branham said, on a moment when inspiration struck him, he must have stood up out of that old ash heap. And these words came forth, yet in my, though the skin worms destroy this flesh, I know I'll see my God. My, when it struck in his heart down deep, it had anchored. It didn't matter what he had. It didn't matter what he'd lost. He was looking ahead. He doesn't know then where his life was going to end up. And that was the final word for him. And let's go ahead and read this over at the 42nd chapter, in the first to the sixth verse. And then Job answered the Lord and said, I know thou can do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. And who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that I understood not, and things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Yes. Here I beseech thee, I will speak, and I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee, and wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Amen. And you know, Job, when he really finally realized and seen, he had heard all the mighty things. Brother Branham said, you know, he had read the things the prophets had written up to that time, and he knew, but oh my, when it struck home in his heart, then it was, I've heard thee, but now I've seen thee. And oh my, how it is today, saints, as it comes down to our day. We've all heard, as our brother said this morning, many here. But oh my, once you've seen, there is a realization, there is something that will take place in your life. Hey man, you won't see just, I see it. No, you know, there's something that drops down on the inside. And you know it, whether it be healing or a revelation from God on a certain word, it doesn't matter. You know, I just want to put this with my wife's testimony from this morning. She called me at work Monday, and her heart had actually started messing up Sunday night. And she was a little concerned, and I said, well, it's just probably because you've had a cold. But she called me at work on Monday, and I could tell by her voice the strain, and she was concerned, and she called the doctor, and she said, I made an appointment. And she said, I need you to come home. And I said, okay. And so I hung up, and I was going to go home. And like I said, you get to know someone, and I could just tell. My wife don't go to the doctor unless you make her go. And I was finishing up what I was doing, and by the time I got back to the car, my phone rang again, and she just said, you don't need to come home. I don't need to go now. And her voice was just so calm, and you could tell. And she said, I prayed about it. And she said, and it's over. And I said, well, good. I said, are you sure? And she said, yes. But you could just tell by the tone of her voice, she got a hold of something. She knew it was done. There wasn't no maybe it's done. Because I even told her, I said, maybe you should still go and just let them look at you. And I think she did call the doctor back, but there was no need to go. And I thank God for that. But saints, it's real. When God places something in your heart, whether it be for a healing, or whether it be something in this word, there is nobody, no nothing, going to move you off of where you stand. And that's where Job came to. He had reached that point. It didn't matter. And I don't know of another person that suffered physically of loss in as long as it looked like Job went through there. The time of just seeing everything stripped down and God not answering him. He was a prophet. And you know, Brother Branham talked about the time when he had disobeyed the Lord and God was silent. And he would pray, and it felt like his prayers just wasn't going nowhere. And how Job must have felt sitting there. And all of his friends looked like they were against him. And all of this, but yet he was holding on that he had kept what God had said. I like how Brother Branham says it here, and I have heard, but now I see this little quote. This message was preached November 27, 1965. This is paragraph 53 in the book that I have. But he says, Job was a man that carried out God's commandments to the letter. Exactly. And Satan knew that. But he said, if you'll just let me have him, I'll make him curse you to your face. So God told him, he said, now he's in your hands, but don't you take his life. And Satan stretched as far as he could on that. And he took every friend, everything he had, almost his complete life. But he couldn't take his life. But Job still held right on. There was no turning back, you see. When a man or a person has really come in contact with God, with a genuine revealed faith that God is, there's nothing, no time, nowhere can ever separate that man from his God. And I believe it was Paul that said, there's no strife, no hunger, no perils, neither living creatures, or death, or anything that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You are securely anchored in him because you were ordained to that life. Amen. And I was thinking, as that is, here God looking at the situation knew he had ordained Job to withstand all that he had. But Job didn't know that at the time. But my, look how God, as he looks down through each age, he's had a representative. He's had someone to stand and represent him. Predestinated him to be there. Moses with a stick, an old dried up rod, brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. God ordained him to do that, and God led him right on through. David with a sling and them stones took that giant and never batted an eye and kept on moving. Joshua, all the mighty battles that he fought, God ordained him to do what he done. Brought it right on up to Christ when he could come and veil himself in human flesh. Oh my. And you know, but look at all them warriors as they came. And look at all that the prophets prophesied up through that time of Jesus to come. And how Israel looked at all of that. And my, but then when Jesus came on the scene, he had a work to do. And my, how he came, and you know, he could have come up to anybody at that day and said, I'm the Messiah. I'm here to be the Messiah. And he could have told them that, and every one of them would have scoffed and laughed at him if he would have just walked in saying that. But oh my, his works declared first. When that little woman at the well, he didn't tell her who he was. He just began to talk to her. And his actions and his life and the works that he produced. Yes. She said, well, I know when the Messiah cometh, he'll do those things. Then he said, I am he. Yes. Oh, my, done and anchored in. She had done and seen it expressed. That word became vindicated. Yes. And now she has something to hold on to. She's seen. Oh, there's a reality that just came forth right here. Amen. Oh, we've heard of this all these years, but now I've seen it. Yes. And oh, there was something down on the inside, a predestinated gene that reached out and grabbed a hold of that right there. But oh, my, just think of the situation, the works that he done is what caught the attention. It wasn't him just saying, but oh, and then when he said, I am he. Oh, that was it. It was sealed. Amen. But here in Go Wake Jesus, Brother Branham, November 30th, 1963, paragraph 151. He says, how could they be sure? And how was the disciple sure of it? Now listen, because he was an educated man, as far as we know, he wasn't. He only had the wisdom of God. But the worldly education, I don't know. We don't have no record of him ever going to school. But some great priest, some great renowned person. No, we have no record of anything like that. Just a common man. But how could they know? Now listen close now. Don't miss this. How could they rest assured? We are assured that thou art the Christ. How could they? Because they seen the promised word vindicated. In other words, made manifest, made known. The living word of promise was made alive and projected right through that body. And they know that God was in him. And Peter said, you men of Israel and Judea, Jesus of Nazareth was a man approved of God among you by the things that God did by him. And Nicodemus, that great scholarly man, came by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are of God. Why? No man could do those things that you do except God be with him. And we're aware of that. But why didn't he accept it? Why didn't he? See, it was against their tradition. Yes, the only way they knew he was is because he made God's word foretold for that day live itself. Do you understand? Amen. And just think, saints, this might sound a little different than Job, but just bear with me. But I want you to notice that Job, he was anchored. And he held on to his testimony. It didn't matter. Amen. He knew God was God. And he had that much, and he held on to what God had given him. Now, there was things he didn't understand at the beginning of his trial. But at the end, all things, he never one time, his wife even comes to, why don't you curse your God and die? And how many times do we see today someone say, oh, I wouldn't believe that. I'd get away from that. I'd turn from that. I'd get away from that unbelief or leave this, and I wouldn't buy that. Brother Branham, I don't have to take that. And how many times is there a little seed that you see? They keep their mouth shut, and they just wait. They may not understand it. but they're waiting for God to reveal it. Lord, you show me. But all Job was careful. Oh, he told his wife, you speak like a foolish woman. And oh my, and how she must have looked upon him. Everyone turning their back and walking away from him. And how Jesus, when he began to preach and teach, and how the congregations began to fall away. As long as the miracles was happening in his day, they wanted that. But Brother Branham said, when he said, except you drink and eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. Then they began to leave him. And then when it come down to his final hour, even his disciples, Peter denied him, and there he stood alone, but he held strong. Why? Because he was predestinated. God himself came to do that work. Amen. And God today has come again to do a work in people, veiled in flesh. Amen. Let me catch this real quick over here in, I didn't write it down. I probably didn't mark it. Amen. Amen. I didn't mark that one. Amen. But my saints, each one of them, they carried it out. But let's move on down to our day. It's come down to, we've got to know. We're standing here today, as the scripture says, at that day ye shall know that I'm in the Father's in me, I in you, and you're in me. And as our brother was speaking even this last week of the branches bearing the fruit, we've got to see it ourselves. We can't go on someone else. But it's got to be a revelation to you personally, a revelation to me personally. But as he says here in the Unveiling of God, this is preached June 14th, 1964. He says, ye are written epistles, read of all men. Or you are, I translate that, turn it around this way, see? Just turn it around. You are epistles that has been written. Because you can't add nothing to it that's read of all men. Manifested word of God, in other words. Peter and John, to show it, when they went up, or they perceived they were ignorant and unlearned, and they had no education. But they had taken notice that they had been with Jesus, see? They were ignorant and unlearned. But they were written epistles, see? And they read that they had been with Jesus, cause Jesus was manifesting himself through them. Christ, veiled in their flesh, manifested and made alive. Like he was in Moses. When the word was in Moses, he was God in flesh. When it was in Jesus, it was God in flesh. The only thing he done was change his mask, not his word, not his nature. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He only changed his form. He changed from Noah to Moses, and he changed from Moses to David, from David to Joseph, and on down till he come in the fullness of the Godhead bodily, see? It's still the same God, amen? I hope that gets through. See, it's the same God, but he just takes on another veil, and he puts on another veil. Amen. And that's where we've come down to today. Each one of us can answer our own question, as our brother preached on several months ago. We can look and see the word. What my life is projecting is what I am. I'm not going to change, as it's been said, overnight. What I am now is what I'd be there. And each one of us can take this word test, and we can either be truly assured in our hearts and truly have an anchor point to hold to, or we can just still be so unsure that I don't know where I'm standing. But God is trying to fortify, and he is fortifying that little bride with the word. And she's coming to the point where she will stand. As it's been said, you can't stand as a church. You can't stand as a group. It's an individual affair before God. You can't get behind Brother Steve's coattail and try to say, I'm going to follow this pastor, because that's good to follow a pastor that's leading you to the word. But you've got to be able to stand on your own two feet. You've got to be able to stand. Each individual person, when it comes your time of testing, your test of trial, what if God would say, have you considered my servant, Brother Larry, Brother Kevin? In this day, it's our turn to stand and stay with every word. Today, it may not be some of the tests that they've went through. We've moved into that age where it'll be so close, it would deceive the very elected if it would possible. Right. And that's the age Satan's working in now. Amen. He don't care. He'll do what he can. But he realizes and he knows that, oh, they got a hold of this. But he's working now to just try to get you to turn your back from one word. Amen. Walk away from one thing and say, I don't feel it's necessary to go that far. If he can just get you to let off on one thing, let you let slide back just a little bit, he's done and won the battle. But God has fortified a bride, and that's what he's doing. That somebody was predestinated. And by God's grace, my name was in there. And I pray each one of you see your names in there. Because that's how it is. It's an individual affair. And each one of us is going to have to stand and be rest assured. When this earth begins to shake and buildings are falling, you're going to know. The word you're receiving now is going to prepare you for that time. To be able to stand and wait with patience, with joy in your heart, knowing, I know I've done exactly what that said. As God said about Job, he kept the word to the letter. He was living, keeping those commandments right down the line. And my, how each one of us, that's the only assurance we got. It's not just saying I've got this, not just saying I've read this, but I've seen this come alive and become manifested and vindicated in my heart and life. See it become and change. The old me is gone. It ain't no more. He's still laying around somewhere, but he's gone, buried in death. But oh my, the new one has come alive. Hallelujah. Amen. So sing that little song, I'm not an old man redone, but a brand new man. Amen. Amen. But my, that's where it's come to, saints. There's so many that they want to claim they're Christians, they want to follow the message, but their lives is totally contrary to what God said would be in a born-again Christian today. And my, that's why it's come down. We've got it. We're each one here to check up. Each one of us, look at our lives. Where do I stand? Where am I at? That's why I've got so much to thanking for as I look at these things and see it, and then I can see with a reality. Oh, looky there. Oh, my. Am I, you know, there's so many that they thought Brother Branham was a prophet. And they'll tell you he's a prophet, but they'll discredit what he said. And it goes to show that their eyes are blinded. They don't even believe he's a prophet. Because if they truly believed, they would take heed to what he said. But oh my, there is a special predestinated few. They've had all they want of men's creeds and doctrines. There's only one thing that stands in their eyes, and that's the precious, pure, unadulterated word of God. They don't want nothing else. But they've got their eyes trained on Jesus. They're not looking to some man to take them in. They're not looking at some man to see how he's going to handle situations. They're looking at one thing, and that's the word. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost that God placed them on the inside is teaching them and leading them in all truths, guiding them. And they are being led by the Spirit, and they are overcoming, and they know by grace that they will sit with him on his throne because of that. Amen. But it's got to be a reality, just not words. It's just not a message. It's just not, I heard Brother Steve preach, or I heard Brother so-and-so preach, and I agreed with him. Amen. But oh my, what about a living reality into my heart? Amen. That somebody walked through the door, or walked through into my home, and tell me that I'm lost, and tell me that I can't going to make it, and what I'm doing's wrong. Do I have to get on the phone and call the pastor? I need to know if I'm right or not. No. But I can pick up this precious word and say, I know I'm doing what I was told to do. I've followed the instructions of the Lord. Amen. That's where it leaves, you know, no disrespect to Brother Branham, but when you truly see that that prophet came from God, it's no more I'm doing just what Brother Branham said, but I'm doing what God said. Amen. It becomes an anchor. Yes. Oh, my, and it's just to hold you steadfast through anything. Yes, it is. My, you know, sometimes it's rough when someone you really like, someone you really expect, looks you in the eye and tells you you're wrong, tells you you're lost, and tells you you've blasphemed the Holy Ghost. That's a rough place to have to stand. And my, but oh, I thank God when he's placed the anchor down inside of there. Amen. That it's held through every storm. Amen. It's not wavered, but it's been strong. I may not have understood every step I've taken with the Lord. At the minute I raised my foot to take the step, maybe God was leading to do something. I may not have understood why I done what I did. But I've never regretted one step I've taken with this precious word. Amen. Because I've seen God vindicated and back it up 100%. Amen. Hallelujah. But oh my, we've got to see that reality. Hallelujah. These quotes have been read and read over and over again. But oh my, it's coming down now to where it's a vindication. Yes. How do I know I'm bride? What right do I have to know that I am, see that I am that bride, but to see the vindication of the word that was prophesied that bride would do come forth out of my life. And then I can stand just like Jesus did. When I see that and see that works and someone's attention gets caught and someone says, oh my, what have you got? I say, I'm part of the bride of Jesus Christ. because why, my life is vindicating that I am. But if I ain't got no vindication, if I ain't got no right to that claim that I'm part of that bride, I ain't got no claim at all to that. But oh my, when you can see why it's not you doing it, but it's Christ in me bringing this body under subjection. Hallelujah.
Amen. This is in What Shall I Do with the Jesus Called Christ? Amen. Preached November 24th, 1963. As I said, if the life of Beethoven was in you, you would live like Beethoven. If the life of Hitler was in you, you would live like Hitler. And when the life of Christ is in you, you'll live like Christ, and the works of Christ you'll do. And that'll be, if Christ lived today, he would do exactly what the Word said he would do today. And the Word said that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why can't this blind, ecclesiastical world see the time that they're living, see? Eve caused all physical death by trying to inject some hearsay of Satan into the Word. And that same thing happened to the church at Nicaea, Rome. And by taking dogmas instead of the Word, this the same thing in the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian. Light springs forth in each age, and they turn it down. And that's the reason Lutherans died when Wesley rose up. It was another age. The Word came forth, and they had to accept it or die. And that's the reason the Pentecostals are dying now, is because the age is here. And the Word has been made manifest, the eagle time. The time of the Word to return back, to restore the faith of the fathers back to the children again. And they're so united, they turn it down. They ain't nothing but spiritual death. God's body united as his bride, being one, him and Christ together, is the Spirit working in the flesh of the church like it worked in the flesh of Jesus Christ, because it's part of his body. Not twain, but one. They are one. A husband and wife is no longer two, but one. And Christ and his body is one. The same Spirit was in Christ is in his bride, in his body, and that unites him together with all the Word. God living in there himself, manifesting it. Amen. My saints, what an assurance it ought to bring. As I said, it's good to see God work in someone else's life. It's wonderful to see God do something for someone else, but what's he doing for you? It's wonderful to look and say, I seen God do that for so-and-so, and I seen God do this for brother so-and-so. But what's God doing for me? Where do I stand? What am I joy? What's the joy? Is my joy anchored in? What's my salvation anchored in? Am I happy because everybody else is happy? Or am I happy because I see me personally? This is personally to me. Everything that Brother Branham spoke, all the word that's written in that Bible was to me personally. That's mine. It's all mine, if you might want to say. It's all mine. I hope you get a portion of it, but this is all mine. Amen, saints. It's got to be that real. This is ours, mine, yours. Whatever it is, and it's got to be real, that it'll happen just the way God said it'll happen. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a story. It's not a, I'll do good today and I'll do bad tomorrow. Well, it's just how it is. No, God's word said he would totally. In 2 Corinthians, he said all things were passed away, and behold, all things became new. That old nature, that old body, all the old is gone. There's no more. You can't bring it back when it's dead. But the new life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And oh my, as you begin to see that, the true freedom, the true justification that comes. That's why you can raise your hand in the Spirit and worship him. That's why you can come through the door with a joy in your heart. And you may come in and sit there and the Word come and show you another short place. And you don't get all discouraged and get mad at the pastor and stomp out the door. Well, I ain't going back there because I ain't going to have nobody preaching at me like that. No. But in that elected few, there is a predestination down on the inside. They don't care. It may peel the hide off their back, but you watch them come right subject to that word and get right back up and keep moving. Amen. There ain't nothing can hold them back. Why? It's God on the inside driving and pushing, bringing out that life. It's not what you'll do, but it's what he'll do through you. Amen. This is in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Preached June 28, 1963. Paragraph 413, look, God in his body, Christ, and Christ in his body, the bride, oh my. God made manifest in Christ, and Christ made manifest in the bride. As God took from the body of Adam, the woman, she fell, then God took from the body of Christ, his flesh, his body, which is his word, and is bringing a bride out that won't fail by denomination or creed. No, sir. She is coming back with the pure, unadulterated word of God being manifest. And I hope every man that hears this tape, every woman will understand that, see?
She is the second Eve, but she is not breaking and spoiling her skirts of purity and holiness to her husband. She'll stay with his word regardless of what anybody says. Amen, amen, saints, and that's where it's come. You can see it all over the land. You see those they, you know, and it just, I understand. But you take all the many people that claim to be in this message, and now they've went back into their TV shows and stuff that they will post on Facebook through their pages. The Walking Dead and all this stuff that's coming up today and stuff they will share and the stuff they're watching and the church members are talking about it. How can God ever move in a mist where that's at? It'll never happen. There might be a false anointing come down and jumping and shouting going on. There might be things to keep people there. But the true, genuine Spirit of God will never work or manifest through a building where the people are in that kind of condition. It takes a people that is sold out. You go back in the scripture and you look at every example God ever used. The people were sold out. Surrendered vessels to God. They weren't wrapped up in the cosmos of their time and all wrapped up in the world. They were surrendered to God. And that's what it's going to take in this day as a people. Individuals that will surrender their life to God and let God have the way. You won't see that filth and nonsense in their life. You won't see it. But you'll see a spirit, people that are, their whole attention span is on God. But oh my, what are they doing? They're getting, it's just Satan, he's taken over. He's slid in. And once he gets a foot in, if you don't drive him out, he'll just step one more step farther. And that's what's happened. But oh my, may we uphold a standard in our own lives as individuals. We can keep the door clean here. We can help the pastor. You can help the pastor. But oh my, when it comes down, you're the pastor of your home. And my, that's where we must hold the standard and keep it, that it doesn't slide off in to what it's sliding others. But be careful and watch why Satan's going to and fro. He's looking. He's looking every day. And my, when he sees someone that's taken to the word, that's the ones he's interested in. The ones he's already got over there and all that carnal stuff, he don't care. But he's going to look for you and I, those or any other little elected that's seeking to do the will of God. Those are the ones he's targeted. Oh my, saints, may we be wise and watch and weary. Amen. Paying attention and looking for what God, we want God to move. We want to see the things we want to see him be the same today as he was yesterday. But you got to pay the price to see that. God's only going to work in those that will give him their all and let him have full control. But oh my, in saying that, this is in the message, identification. Preached January 23rd, 63, paragraph 152. He says, he's talking of Moses here. If you were in that day, what group would you be identified with? With the prophet? With the vindicated word, although they were in the minority? Or would you be with the popular opinion, folks? Well, I'll tell you, I believe that man is crazy. And the only way you'd ever know it wasn't crazy is for the same God to reveal to you the same thing he revealed to Moses. And the only way that we will ever be able to be images of God and the sons of God is for God to reveal to us and express himself through his word to us, and us to the world. That's the only channel. For Christ was the image here on earth that you could see, God and man. Expressed image of God because God was in him so much that they were one. And now when Christ left, he sanctified the church that the church might take his place and express the word of God. See, that's the only way it can be done. Would you be with the popular folks who had the popular opinion? As long as I belong to church, and maybe because I danced in the spirit, I'm all right. Maybe because I've spoken with tongues, I'm all right. Or maybe we got a good pastor and I'm all right. Now, those things are loyal and I have nothing to say against that. That's true. But this plan of salvation is an individual affair with you. Speaking in tongues is a gift of God. Dancing in the spirit is the presence and the glory of God. But for you to let your character be molded into the image of God that he projects himself, and you are his idol, walking on earth the expressed image of him. Now, would you be willing to do that in the days of Noah? Or would you have been on the critical side, criticizing both the prophet and his God-sent message? Now, think of it. Which side would you think, if your present state now, would you took? Now, be honest. Pardon me, there's no need for me to try to say it. You've got to think it yourself. Amen. And that's where we stand, saints. Each one of us can take this precious word. And we can weigh our lives and we can answer our own question, which side am I standing on? When we can look back, where would I have stood with Job? My life today tells me where I'd have been if I'd have been in Job's shoes. My life today tells me where I'd have been if it Noah's time. Would I have stood with Noah or would I have been with the crowd? But oh my, it's a question, saints. But we have the answer. God has provided it. And it's there. You just got to be honest with yourself and look into God's word. And if you come up short, don't run from it, but run to it and ask God to take your hand and lead you on through and to do the work in your life that's needed.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. This is in Identification, preached January 23rd, 63. This is paragraph 119. You know, in the heathen world, how the heathens put up an idol, and they prostrate themselves before the idol and work themselves into such an emotion till they believe they can hear that idol speak back to them.
Amen.
It's a mental affair, but how vice versa from God's truth? God wants you. He don't want an idol. You are the living image of God, and you prostrate yourself before God, and He fills you with Himself, and you express Him as a looking glass, His church. What a difference we've got. We want to be like the Presbyterian and the Methodist and get just as high. Everything has to be polished and classy, and we're just about getting just about as bad, see? But we've got to get off that beaten line and come back, church. I'm zealous of you because the coming of the Lord is hand. Let Him be your expressed image,
yes,
expressing Himself in you, because He was always doing exactly the Word of God. And I pray that's our burning desire, saints,
yes,
that we would prostrate ourselves and let God totally fill us to the overflowing with Himself. Why, it's not what you can tell someone. You know, as we talk about getting together for Easter, and it's wonderful to have fellowship, and it sounds like we may have quite a mixed congregation as far as people just straight out of the world, some from different denominations, and then some from the Message. And that puts quite a load upon the pastor to what to preach. So remember to keep him in your prayers and pray that God will lead and direct him. But nevertheless, what example will you leave? Are you going to express some church, or are they going to see Christ in your life? It's not just bring them to a building. This is our church. No, we're part of a church. And may each one of us represent that. And may it be seen in our lives that that's where I stand. I'm not just standing with a group of people. I'm just not a member of a congregation. But I am, by grace, an individual that's been called out to be a member of the bride of Jesus Christ. And I want others to see that expression in my life. Not that I have to tell them with my mouth, but just by rubbing shoulders, they'll feel the presence of God. Just by coming in your midst, they can tell you care more for the things of God than the things of the world. It's not about how great somebody can sing, how good the song leader is. But it's about that God gets the worship and the glory and the honor. And that they see Jesus Christ expressed in everything, not just the word being preached. But it's a life being lived. When Jesus walked, they've seen it. When Peter and John walked, they've seen the same life that was expressed in Jesus, expressed through the apostles. When Martin Luther came on the scene with his message, they seen Jesus Christ again. When Wesley came on the scene, they seen God. When Brother Branham came on the scene, they seen God again. The bride's here today. They ought to see the same Jesus Christ that expressed through each one of them prophets down through time, and the people expressed again today in me and you. We're not prophets. We may not all be preachers. We may all not, but whatever we are, we're the bride of Jesus Christ, sons and daughters of God sent here to be His representation. And may it truly reflect. May the joy of your salvation shine from your face in everything we do. Not just everything's going my way, so I'm smiling. But no, when you're in Job's situation, there's still a praise down in your heart.
Amen.
That when inspiration would still strike you, though you're in your lowest valley, you can still rise up and praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
For all that He's done. Amen. Let's all stand. I've held you long enough. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus again. I've got so much to thank Him for,
yes,
Brother DeLong comes.
Amen.
I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. For He has been so good to me. And when I think of all He's done, brought me from, I've got
Amen. Where he's brought you from. Oh, my. But I'm going to head on with his grace. Higher yet. Amen. And keep on climbing on higher ground. Amen. Oh, he's so wonderful. So precious he is. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, it's just been so good to be here again, Lord, and to hear your word this evening. And oh, God, what it means to us in our hearts. And Lord, to see by the grace of God how we fit in that great plan of God. How we appreciate it, Lord, and no wonder just with joy in our hearts we can sing, I'm so thankful for what you've done for us, Lord. Oh, God, we've got so much to be thankful for. When we just sit, Lord, and think and meditate from, Lord, the very time we begin to remember from when we was a child, and, Lord, up to where we're at now, we can always see the hand of God in our life. And, Lord, we appreciate that so very much. So thankful, Lord, for that little deep call into the deep as we spoke of this morning. Lord, that in itself is so precious. And thank you, Lord, for something there to respond to that call. Oh, hallelujah. Bless us now, Lord, as we leave this little place. And may we come back, Lord, again the next appointed time. If you should tarry, come back with excitement in our hearts and a longing to hear your word, a hunger to hear it, Lord. And, Father, just wait for the next step of instructions to take us. And, Lord, we'll just give you all the glory and all the praise. Bless now. Keep your hand upon those that have to travel, Lord. Keep them safe. And, Lord Jesus, may we take the name of Jesus with us wherever we go. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, my. I'm excited. Amen. Glory to his wonderful name. We're getting ready to go home soon. Oh, my. I know it's just around the corner. Amen. May we be looking and loving the eternal Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. May God richly bless you. Amen. As we sing on our way out, I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for he has been so good to me. Amen. And I think of all he's done and where he brought me from. I've got so much to thank him, Lord. God bless you. You're dismissed. Amen. Glory.